Hi, this is Stephen Keller, and you're listening to the AllMovieTalk.com audio post for January 15th, 2007. It's a review of the new film Children of Men by director Alfonso Cuarón, which came out just at the end of 2006 and has sort of just had a wide release very recently here in the United States. I'm doing this audio post as sort of an experiment to see if it's something that anyone's interested in, you know, maybe just to mix it up a little bit from the normal blog posts. So let me just go ahead and jump in by telling you that I think that this film is just one of the best of the year 2006. Right now, it's my number two film of the year, I think, right behind Martin Scorsese's The Departed. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous film, wonderfully shot and really fun to watch as well. And the thing that strikes me the most about it is how surprising it is. There's a scene fairly early on in the movie that just completely took me by surprise. I thought the movie was going in one direction, and then it completely went off the rails. And I was just startled by the fact that so often in movies, we know where they're going. We've seen them before, and we always say that, you know, it's not what a movie's about as much as how it's about it, and we appreciate style. I think a lot of times over the story itself, and if a story's kind of predictable, that's okay. But it's really fun just to be completely thrown off guard by a film that seems willing to take chances and go in different and more interesting directions than you ever would have imagined. That really strengthens this film, which is sort of an interesting idea. It's set in the future and in this Britain that's sort of ruled by these fascist dictators, though we don't really know exactly too much about that. But the idea is that for the last 18 years or so, all humans have been infertile. No new babies have been born in 18 years, and essentially humanity is just facing its extinction. In a few more generations, there will be nobody left. And so we see this world sort of falling apart. The people are without hope and just completely despairing of everything, and so governments have taken over. And we see this Britain as it begins expelling all immigrants and locking them up and just doing horrible things to them because, of course, its citizens have rebelled and there are protests. And the plot revolves around a character played by Clive Owen who gets mixed up with this band of revolutionaries, these sort of freedom fighters / terrorists, depending on whose perspective you want to look at from. And it's an interesting thing. I don't want to say too much about it. The trailer does sort of spoil one of the twists that comes early on, but that's okay. There are lots and lots of other twists and interesting things that happen and things that you will not see coming, I almost guarantee you. So, talk a little bit about the genesis of the film. Like I said, it's directed by Alfonso Cuarón, who is a Mexican filmmaker who's really coming into his own. A couple of years ago, he released the film Y Tu Mama También, which got a lot of critical praise and reviews, and I think he was nominated for an Oscar. Anyway, definitely for screenplay, I think. Maybe he won it. I don't remember offhand. But just, a celebrated movie. Though you probably American audiences best know him for the third Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, which is actually, in my opinion, certainly the most interesting of the Harry Potter films. I think they're all pretty good movies, but Cuarón's film was definitely the one with the most visual style and flair to it. It felt the most distinct. The others, I think, have a little bit of a generic feel to them, which hurts them a little bit. And, you know, some other people in it. Clive Owen, who plays the hero and has just really captivated me for a couple of years now, is a tremendous leading man, able to be sort of cynical and laid back and also cool and capable at the same time. Really interesting actor. He gives a great sort of muted performance. And there's some other good supporting performances, especially one by Michael Caine, who plays this a former political cartoonist who sort of spends his days now taking care of his catatonic wife while he smokes a lot of pot and leads his own little sort of countercultural revolution going on. Anyway, an interesting film. And again, like I said, what's so fascinating for me about it was how surprised I was. It reminded me a lot of watching The Departed, in that I was on the edge of my seat for most of the movie. Once Children of Men kicks in, you know, The Departed kicks in from the very beginning, but once there's this big sort of, and you'll see it, you'll know it when you see it, this big scene that just changes things and changes the way the film's going. wow, you will be really, really shocked. You'll have no idea what's going to happen next, and it's like I said, I was on the edge of my seat the entire movie. And it's interesting because there's a lot of interesting, fun sequences. You wouldn't surprise. I thought it was more of a heady intellectual film from the trailers. But there are quite a number of good action pieces that are treated quite a bit more intelligently than they are in most action movies, particularly an escape involving a car that, its battery or starter's dead and has to be bump started in order to get it going, is one of the most both suspenseful and humorous car chase sequences I've ever seen in the movies. You don't expect to see a new and interesting car chase, but here we get one. And we also get a really interesting battle sequence that I'll get to in just a second, one of the most interesting and amazing combat sequences I've ever seen in a film, which is saying a lot, I know, but that's how jazzed I am on this. And again, what really also impresses me is that it is an entertaining film, but also it's pretty meaningful. It has a lot to say about humanity and where we would go without hope and what it means to have hope. And if you look at this, it reminds me a lot of a film that came out earlier in 2006 called V for Vendetta. It was an adaptation of the Alan Moore graphic novel. And I remember thinking that that film was pretty good, but, I don't know, ultimately a little hollow, and Children of Men, and in terms of sort of the world and this idea of the pseudo-post-apocalyptic Britain in which it's just controlled by fascists, very similar between both films, but I thought definitely Children of Men does a much better job. It doesn't seem at all the same kind of shallowness. It feels really weighty, and though it has meaning, but still a lot of fun, interesting sequences. And this is helped particularly by Cuarón's directing, just a real good sense for visual styles throughout. There is this stunning battle sequence in which one of the characters is trying to go find another character who's in this building as it's being shelled by government forces, and also revolutionary forces are fighting the government at the same time. And we get this extended handheld sequence, and it goes on for minutes, and it's every bit as complex as any action sequence you've ever seen, but it looks like it's one single shot. As I walked out of the movie, all I could think was, wow, how did they possibly do that? How can you have such a complicated single shot? Well, turns out it was actually several shots put together using CGI computers, but even still impressive. I've never seen a shot like that in the movies. That is one of the most interesting traveling shots I've ever seen in film. We talked a little bit about some of the great traveling shots a little while ago in the podcast, and this makes me wish I had seen Children of Men prior to that top six list, because I think this definitely would have made my top six traveling shots list. It's just stunning to see a single unbroken handheld shot. I guess not actually handheld, it's a special device that they had so they could move the camera around and be really fluid, but it still has a kind of shaky documentary feel. But as explosions are going off and people are dying and there's guns and just tons and tons of action constantly happening with just one shot. Oh, wow. I was after I figured out that it hadn't cut in a while, I just started watching to see how long it was going to take before they cut, and I was impressed that it took such a long time. And it's also a really interesting exploration of space in this movie, very, very well put together. The set dressing is really, really jam-packed full of details. I think that if you were to watch the film a second or a third time, maybe on DVD, and pause certain scenes, you would find that every square inch of the set is packed full of little clues and hints about the origins of this world and the backstory that's going on. And you know, it's a movie that expects us to pay attention to details, which is also interesting in what is sort of like an action-adventure movie. You don't... It's a weird mixture of things. And I think there are some really interesting scenes where you get the sense that this is a real world. It's not just a collection of movie sets like so many other action films end up being. In particular, I like the way they explore some of the ideas of what a world would be like without any children. For instance, there's a time when we walk into a school, and it's like just an abandoned elementary school, and you realize that, sure, if there were no more kids, there would be just tons and tons of abandoned schools. We would have no more use for them. What would we do? There's all these buildings, but yeah, I guess a lot of them would just probably run into disrepair, and that's an interesting thing, and the movie never really comments on it. It just puts us in this abandoned, decrepit school, and yeah, we're supposed to make that connection. That, oh yeah, that's right, there wouldn't be any use for schools. So I'm very interested to see this movie a second time. I think probably it'll be fun to watch it on DVD so I can backtrack and check things out and get a little more closely. Lots of newspaper clippings and stuff. I was kind of distracted from the plot and several scenes, trying to just read the background details. But again, overall, like I said in the intro, this is one of the best films of 2006, hands down. You know, there's still a couple that I haven't seen that are real frontrunners for the best of the year. I haven't seen Dreamgirls. I haven't seen The Queen. A couple other flicks I haven't gotten to yet. But right now, it's on my shortlist for the best films. It's number two of all the ones that I have seen, with only The Departed being better. So it's still in theaters. If you've got some time, I strongly recommend you check it out. This is a movie that will play well on the big screen, I think. And it will also play well at home, just because, like I said, you can go back and pause things. But definitely some really amazing, impressive action sequences that you'll want to see in their full glory on that giant widescreen. So check it out in the theater if you can. And it's a fun, great, wonderful sci-fi movie with a real human component.